All right, so I'm going to pray first and we'll get into it. Our Father, thank you for myself personally. I really appreciate at camp and then also last weekend, really appreciating what you have taught us about the great gift of your Spirit and the great difference he has made in coming into our life. And we thank you that he's none other than the Spirit of Jesus, the author of the Bible and the creator of the church. After your son purchased us, thank you for how he knitted us together, the Holy Spirit, and just ask that you would help us to take in the words that we're going to look at tonight. Thank you for Galatians 5, a great chapter, challenging as well. And I also want to say thank you for the State Youth Games. Thank you for our group, Lord. Thank you for guiding us and helping us to know the importance of sharing devotions and testimony and sharing about Jesus with those who come along. And we still continue to pray. I know I do and a few others of us, in that the seed that was shared that weekend, last weekend, would bear the fruit of salvation in many, many of our young people's lives. Yeah, thank you, Lord, now for this time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, not this Saturday, but last Saturday, my wife Colleen and I, we went to the Perth Concert Hall with my mum. And I happened to, there was this concert on. WASO, West Australia Symphony Orchestra, was playing some of the classical pieces of Beethoven and others. My mum loved it. She was a classical pianist, and I am really growing to love it too as I get older. I think what happened, all those songs my mum used to play somehow in my head, and as I hear it, I go, wow, this is so cool, the movement of these songs, the full orchestra playing. I remember counting up my mathematical brain, you know, wow, there's 34 violinists and 9 celloists and 5 double bass and heaps of French horns, and it's just amazing. So we went to this, right. And I was just thinking about it, how it all comes together. So like, when you first go there, we got there nice and early, you have people already on stage and they're playing their bits and pieces, but they're all playing independent things, and it's like a real messed up state. It's like that. Have you ever gone to a thing, something like that? It's like crazy. It's like, it's not very musical. It's just very noisy all over the place. And then, the stage gets fuller and fuller, and, they're all doing their little things. And then the chief violinist, whatever he's called, he gets up and he plays the violin. And then everyone is, that's the time for making sure your instrument is in tune. So they do that. And then conductor comes on, there's a big clap, and he comes on, and then he takes his stand in the middle there, and he starts, and then suddenly every instrument is in step with him, and every instrument is in tune with each other, and the sound is phenomenal. It's amazing, just hearing the whole orchestra playing. And it's just lovely, from where we began, so half an hour before the concert, where everything's a bit crazy, jumbled up, to being really, really fantastic. And as I thought about that last weekend, I think I tell you this a fair bit, I am a picture person. I go, man, that is a good picture for the church. So who is our conductor? The conductor actually is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be in step with him and tuned into him, so that individually we might be playing a good tune, and together we might be like, what's the picture? A symphony. Love that picture? A symphony, all playing in tune together. And I just love that image. Rightio, so that's a little bit of an intro. And now I want to get into Galatians chapter 5 and look at how on earth does we make it happen. And there's some really important things mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5. Okay. So, what I want to start off with, I'm going to read Galatians 5:16-18. And it says there, but I say, walk by the Spirit, or some translation, be in step with the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh, which is also in some translation sinful nature, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. All right. So here's some three verses there, 16 to 18, pretty hard hitting. Even though if we've come to love Jesus, His Holy Spirit is in us. The reality is that there is a battle going on. Do you know about this battle? You ought to if you're a genuine Christian. There is a battle going on. This is the state of play. The state of play is that we have an old nature still within us. A sinful nature. We inherited that from mum and dad, and they got it from their mum and dad, all the way back to Adam and Eve. You read about it in Genesis 3. And we have a fallen nature. And that fallen nature seeks to rise up and control and conduct us. He wants to be our conductor. And that fallen nature wants to create, well, it thinks it's creating a nice tune, but to God it's an ugly tune. It's a tune that brings shame to us and hurt to other people. And we're going to be looking at that. But if we also have done this in our life, if we have repented of our sins and called on Jesus to save us, hope you've done that, if we have opened our hearts to Jesus, then His Spirit has come to dwell in us. And what we have to understand is that as a Christian, we have side by side our old nature. It was God's will not to eradicate the old nature. It's still there. But we have the new nature. So we have the sinful nature and the Spirit's nature together. But there's a battle going on. Because the Spirit also wants to rise up and control us and conduct us so that we might play a beautiful tune to the glory of God and be a blessing to others. And this is what the Apostle Paul wants to share here. This is really important teaching. I hope you understand. This is excellent. This is really important to understand as a Christian why it's not easy to be a Christian and that there's a battle going on. This is the state of play. And I always find this section really important. So let me read to you verse 17 again. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. So the old nature, that's the flesh, sets its desire against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So I know what I want to do. I want to follow Jesus and live fully for Him and never sin in my life ever again. Easy, right? No, it's not. Why not? Because of the world. The world I live in, that's one reason. Because of the devil. He's firing his darts at me. But the biggest issue is myself. I have a sinful nature that just will try to pull down the work of the Spirit. And so this is the battle that we're in. So Paul's command here, knowing full well these things, and he would have experienced it too, the apostle, did he have this struggle? Yeah, read Romans 7. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who can save me from this wretched being that I am? What did he say? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Got to read Romans 7. Actually, read Romans 6, 7 and 8. They go together really well. But we're not going to do that right now. Okay, so so what Paul says here, as he talks about this state of play, this struggle we have, this battle, that's why he wants to tell us in verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now before I explore that more, I do now want to explore these two natures, the sinful nature and the Spirit's nature. And we've got some excellent teaching here in Galatians chapter 5. So let me now read verses 19 to 21. Now the deeds of the flesh, you could even argue the fruit of the flesh or fallen nature, are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a really great list. Now, by the way, Galatians 5 is well known for what we're going to look at soon, the fruit of the Spirit. But often we don't read it in context. We have the fruit of our sinful nature, and then there's a contrast to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're just going to look at the fruit of the sinful nature. Now, when you look at that list, a lot of us just go, oh, yeah, That describes a person who has been sent to jail. You know, the criminal. That's the kind of heart they have. Or my bad enemy who just gives me a hard time. But Paul is saying something pretty shocking here. This is your nature. This is my nature. Within us, we have a fallen nature. And not only are we able to behave like this, so often we do. And we can commit all sorts of terrible things. Notice the list. I mean, it could have been made bigger, but this is the list that is there. And I wasn't going to go through every word there, but you can see all sorts of things there. You know, we have issues with anger and jealousy, with sensuality and impurity, with all sorts of things. And these things come from within us. So this is something that takes a while to take hold of. I remember as a young Christian, I never really understood the depravity of my own nature. But as you grow and you feel these things inside you, where are they coming from? They're coming from my nature, my fallen nature. And they're wanting to play a pretty bad tune. As I said earlier, what ends up happening is these behaviours bring such shame. Doesn't it bring shame to us as you start to realise this behaviour is wrong? But it also brings a lot of hurt to other people and brings dishonour to God. And let me just make this clear. These are things that we read here are not just things that we can do and do when we're not a Christian. But unfortunately, there are also things that we still can do when we are a Christian. Why is that? What did I say? Because the old sinful nature is still there inside us together with the new nature. And that's why, for me as a Christian, I feel so ashamed at times when I fall into this. And I've got to remember, that's because I still have a nature that can rise up, and to use the language of a symphony, can rise up and take control and conduct my mind and my thoughts and my words and bring such shame to myself and such hurt to other people. This is the battle we're in. I hope you understand all this. If you're a Christian, you well and truly get to understand it. Yep. And it's pretty serious, isn't it? Because as you read through it, it says here that, often I hear people dismissing it. I do some of that, but I'm just human. I'm just human. You hear that? I do. But look at what it says there in verse 21. Reading verse 21. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Similar to our passage this morning in Ephesians 5. And we need to remember that it is pretty serious. If we are practicing these things, then we are not heading for heaven, we're heading for hell and judgment. And even though Christians can be caught up in this too, there's a big difference. When we do wrong, we feel bad about it. What's the word we do? We repent. We confess and we repent and get back into living for Jesus. A person who will not inherit the kingdom of God is a person who does not repent. They haven't repented and they don't receive Jesus. So it's pretty full on. And I just want you to understand that this sinful nature is powerful. In Romans 7, I'm not going to read out of Romans 7, but Paul speaks there about how powerful the sinful nature is. It's a power within us, and it's seeking to control us. And I think one of the passages that helps me understand how it is going right back to Genesis chapter 4. What's in Genesis chapter 4? The story of Cain. Let me read a little bit of that to you. It says there in Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. Alright, so Cain's a bit ticked off, as you might say, and what that normally creates is the old nature. He's got an old nature, he's inherited from Adam, the old nature, right? So what's going on in Cain's heart? We're going to read. Let's find out. So Cain became very angry. What's that from? From the old nature. He became very angry and his countenance fell. He was so angry that even on his face it's like moody and downcast, right? That's how he is. Okay. And it says, then the Lord said to Cain, wow, I love this. God actually takes time out to speak to Cain. Are you amazed with that? I'd be going, nah, you can just suffer. Well, no. God is so gracious. He is gracious. It's not true that even though Adam and Eve sinned, that they, it wasn't true in the sense of Adam and Eve fell from God and were separated in their relationship, but God doesn't leave us alone. Even with Cain, he comes into the story. And look what God says. He says, I find these words so helpful. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. That is really insightful. That's what it's all about. There is a nature within that wants to control us, like a lion trying to pounce on us so that it does what it wants. And what does God say to Cain? You must master it. You must master it. So that's what we've got to do. And that's where we fail. We so often fail because we just let our old nature take over and conduct us and create all sorts of mayhem and we're out of tune and we cause a lot of problems. We must master it. So that's the old nature. Alright, now we're going to look at the new nature. The Spirit's nature. Praise God for this. Otherwise it'd be pretty dark. Okay, we're going to read Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. What do you reckon of that? Fantastic! Come, what's your response? Isn't that lovely? Man, that is the excellent stuff. Now this is the nature that Christ has given to us by sending His Spirit into us. It's the same nature as Jesus. And this sits side by side our sinful nature, and the Holy Spirit's desire is to rule us, control us, conduct us, that this beautiful fruit, this beautiful tune might come out of us. And how lovely that is. Got to remember there's a battle going on though. But you look at all those things there, you go, wow, how beautiful we would be if all this is just happening and God's Spirit has taken over, we'd be producing all this beautiful fruit. Got to say it again. I hope you've memorized it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against that. God's law supports all those things. And I'll tell you what a contrast that fruit is compared to the world we live in. Isn't that true? Wow. So this is the what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. It's just so lovely. Just a pity that we so often are not allowing the Spirit to control us and conduct us, but we allow our sinful nature to rule us instead. Hey, when we go through that list, I always find it helpful. First of all, it says the fruit of the Spirit. Is that right? Doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, because it's a package deal. All nine all go together. It's not just one or a few, it's all of them together. And the other thing is, I always find it helpful, I want you to do some homework, have a look at that list. Which one do you need to work on? Which one do you need the Holy Spirit to help you with? It's good to do it like that. So let me throw out a few ideas. Some of us can be very lacking in patience. All right, you got one? What is another one we can? I tell you what, self-control, especially in this crazy world we live in. Self-control. There might be other ones you can think of. Faithfulness. God's faithful. How often we're just not even there. So these beautiful things is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. Want to make it very clear, these things do not come by self-help books or through psychology. They come from the Holy Spirit. Us saying yes to the Holy Spirit, letting Him control us and conduct our life, then this fruit comes out. All right. So now, I want to finish by looking at, we have this battle. State of play is there's a huge battle going on inside me. There is the sinful nature still within me, but there's the Spirit's nature within me too. Alright, so going back to verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh." And also, in verses 24 to 26, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." So Paul actually here gives us very important information in regards to how we can make sure that the Holy Spirit is conducting us and that the fruit of the Spirit is produced. Did you get what you've got to do? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to be in step with the Spirit? Well, it tells us in verse 24 that we've got to take action. We've got to crucify the old nature. That sounds pretty full on. It is. Crucify the old nature. Paul writes in verse 24 as if it's a past thing. But it's an ongoing thing as well. We've got to crucify the old nature. Put it to death. Okay, so practically what that means, I'm a sinner too. When I have wrong desires or wrong thoughts, I am to pick up on that and I am to put it to death. I am to remind myself that is not pleasing to Christ. Even though my sinful nature is tempting me and wanting me to fulfill that desire or pleasure or whatever it is, I've got to put it to death. And I do it, not in my own strength, because I'm a goner if I do it in my own strength. I do it in the power of the Lord. And I want to share with you some really important verses that I have found as I seek to live a victorious Christian life. And I'm not there yet. I'm still on L plates. Are you on L plates too? Can't believe it. Alright, anyway, I have to own up to that. So, but I know these things and I want to put it into practice. So, a few verses, three verses. Romans 8:13. "If you're living according to the flesh," that means the old nature way, "you will die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So see the mention of the Spirit? The Spirit is the one who helps you say no to those desires and to put it to death. You've got to rely upon the Spirit. Really good verse. So Romans 6, 7 and 8 go together. I already said that. Romans 6, how you should be. Romans 7, how you fail. Romans 8, the Spirit. He's the one who helps you. Okay, next one. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Matthew 26, 41 is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus is being tested like no other time. And the disciples, they're asleep. And they're about to be tested and terribly fail. They're going to fail Jesus. They're not going to be faithful. They're going to desert Him. Peter's going to deny Him. Jesus tells them something really important before that happens. They didn't listen to His words though. Matthew 26, 41 says, "Watch and pray, so that you may not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The Spirit not being the Holy Spirit, our spirit. Our spirit is willing to do the right thing, but our flesh is weak. Do you see that? You reckon that's important? Absolutely. Watch and pray. Bit of a key here. Watch. Not other people. Yourself. Look what's going on. You always have a heads up. You can see what's going on. And you're meant to have a heads up. Uh-oh. I'm getting myself into a place of temptation. There's things happening. And the next step, pray. You've got to pray. So that's really important. Okay, and the next thing, next verse, these are some of my favourite verses in my battle with my own sinful nature. It's okay sharing this, isn't it? I hope you got some verses. Here we go. Next one is James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's a good one too, right? submit to God. So there are times when I feel so sorely tempted, I've got to just fall on my knees and, Lord, I submit myself to you and I keep doing it. And the promise is, if you do that, saying no to the devil will leave you alone. Because he's probably mucking around with your sinful nature, trying to get you to fall. Yeah, oh, in my office I've got a little buzzer thing that says no. I was going to bring it out. You hit this and it goes no. And you hit it again. No, no, no. That's what you've got to do as a Christian. You've got to keep saying no to the wrong things and yes, yes, yes to the good things. Alana got it for me for Christmas. It's for when a pastor says yes too many times. Alright, but you can also deal with your sinful nature. No. Okay, so they are really important things. And I just want to say to you all that it's a really full-on thing being a Christian. The Christian life is the best life of all, but it's a full-on life. And we're going to really not get too far in our Christian life if we don't appreciate not just the hostile world we live in and a devil out to, as it says in 1 Peter, to devour us. If we have no appreciation of our own nature, your own nature will deceive you and betray you. You need to understand these things so that you can understand the battle and also the great need we have, not only just for Jesus to forgive us of our sins, but for Jesus' Spirit to give us power over our sinful nature so that we're not controlled and by our sinful nature, but by the Holy Spirit. But we, in order to be in step with the Spirit, I want to just finish with a few more things. The other thing I notice in my own life is I'm in a place of strength, not vulnerable to sin, when I'm actually in step with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit. And that's what the very first verse I read says. But I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So what do you do to be in step with the Spirit? You hear it all the time. What is it? Read your Bible. Make sure you have time every day to read the Bible so that God can speak into your life. Pray. Pray. Not just pray like on the run. Pray while you're driving the car. Learn to pray on your own with the Lord. Have fellowship. This is good. No one's sitting right now, are they? Because we're in fellowship. It's just like, great. It's when you're on your own. So having fellowship is good. Growing together. These are the things that help us walk in step with the Spirit. And that's what we need. We need the Spirit to take control and to push out the old nature, put it down. Rightio. So when I think of all the things about the Holy Spirit, especially over the past few weeks in my head, thinking about the way he comes in and comforts us and gives us great counsel, and he wants to transform our life. He reassures us that we are the Lord's children. One of the big things I value about the Holy Spirit is he understands this battle I'm in and he wants to help me. He's my friend. He wants to help me put down my old nature and he wants to conduct me that I might sing the Lord's praises, that I might live a life pleasing to God and glorifying him. And together, if we do it well, we're like a wonderful symphony. How good is that, eh? Righty-o. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for Galatians 5. Lord, I really appreciate this passage as I see some strong words that speak about my own nature and how sinful it is and how opposite it is to your beautiful nature. And I thank you for the words that Paul shares here in regards to the importance of walking in step with the Spirit, that we might not allow our sinful nature to rule us. And we're so sorry when we succumb to it rising up within and conducting our life and causing great mess. So sorry, Lord, when we sin against you, and help us when we do that to confess and repent of what we've done. But Lord, we want your Spirit to rule us and conduct us and to play that beautiful tune of Jesus in our life, and together that we might be a beautiful symphony. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to appropriate the things that we've looked at tonight. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.